Shall we turn now in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14? When you're studying a chapter, it's always good to look for basic principles that are being taught. And this is one of the things that I look for. What are the key scriptures? What is the heart of the message? What is the Lord wanting to get across to us in this chapter? And as I was reading this 14th chapter, it seems to me that one of the key principles that Jesus is emphasizing is found there in verse 11, where Jesus said, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now, going back to the beginning of the chapter, Jesus was invited by a Pharisee to eat at his house. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7 and chapter 11, tell us where other Pharisees had invited Jesus to dinner on different occasions. This one was a setup. It was the Sabbath day. And along with the invitation to Jesus, they gave an invitation to a man who had a physical ailment that was called the dropsy. And so when Jesus came to eat at the invitation of the Pharisee, they were all watching him to see if he would heal this man on the Sabbath day. They were looking for an occasion to accuse Jesus of violating their law. So it was a setup. And so Jesus faced the issue. He asked the lawyers that were there, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And they didn't answer him. And so he healed the man. And then he challenged them, and he said, "Which of you, if you have an donkey or a ox, and if it falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you pull it out on the Sabbath day, or will you wait until the next day to pull it out of the well?" And so the idea is, here's a man who is in need. If you would help an animal in need, why wouldn't you help a man who is in need on the Sabbath day? But then the interesting thing is that though they were watching Jesus, Jesus was also watching them. And in verse 7, as Luke introduces this parable of Jesus, he said the parable was prompted when he was marking how they chose the chief rooms at the feast. As they came in, Jesus was watching their little game. You see, in the Eastern culture, they always had places of honor at the table. Quite often, the house was set up and the rooms were set up in what they called the triclinium or triclinium. And the triclinium was where they would set up in tables of three. And the middle place at each table was the place of honor. And say you were having a dinner and you invited 15 guests. You'd set up five tables. And there would be three at each table, but the middle place in each table would be the place of honor. So at the first table, it would be seat number two, and everybody would be assigned a number. And at the first table, the second seat, at the second table, the fifth seat, and then the eighth seat, the 11th seat, 14th seat would be the seats of honor. There were also the various rooms, the higher rooms and the lower rooms. There were the more important guests were seated in the higher room and the guests of lesser honor seated in the lower rooms. And Jesus watched. Here they were gathering together, this clique and all. And he watched them as they were maneuvering, trying to get the higher places. And so that prompted a parable. And Jesus said, when you are bidding, or when you have been bidden to a wedding feast, don't sit in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than you happens to come, and the host will have to come and say, sorry, fellow, you're in the wrong room. Would you mind going down to this other room? He said, that's embarrassing. So it would be better to sit in the lowest room. And then if the host comes and said, oh, what are you doing sitting here? You should be sitting in this other room and take you to a higher room. Then you have honor in that you've been asked to come to a higher place. And then he gave the principle. For he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that will humble himself will be exalted. So Jesus was watching this little game with these fellows. In the 20th chapter of Luke, Jesus said, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. They love the greetings in the markets and the higher seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at the feast. Beware of that attitude that would seek to draw glory, honor, attention to yourself. For he that exalteth himself shall be abased. How opposite is this from the teaching and the ideas of the world? The world honors the man who is a go-getter, the man who will push ahead, the man who is aggressive. Note how that the politicians are always pushing themselves, wanting center stage, wanting the center of attention. When they come on, you know, to the roll of the drum beat or all, they come on, you know, just. You see it with TV personalities, you know, coming on and just. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Those who are seeking glory and honor, those who are promoting themselves. The world looks upon a humble person as rather wimpish and really doesn't have much admiration for him. But Jesus said, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. And surely, as we look at history, we can see classic examples of this over and over again. One of the most classic examples, I believe, is found in the story of Nebuchadnezzar. The book of Daniel tells us about how that he was perhaps the greatest monarch who ever lived. In the image, he was the head of gold. There was to never be a kingdom that would be superior to him, but all of the succeeding kingdoms would be inferior to his. He brought Babylon to the zenith of its glory and power. He had these massive walls built around the city of Babylon, 300 feet high, 87 feet thick. He had built the beautiful palaces of which they have recently, in the archaeological diggings, have uncovered some of the vast palaces that he had built. And also the beautiful hanging gardens of Babylon, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And he began to be quite proud, lifted up with pride, exalting himself. Whoever he would put down, he could put down. Whoever he wanted to exalt, he would exalt. And as he began to be lifted up with pride, God sent him a warning by way of a dream. And Daniel interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, telling him that his heart was being lifted with pride and that he needed to walk softly before the Lord. You need to come down off of that high tower. So for 12 months, he sort of behaved himself. And then after 12 months, as he was walking through the hanging gardens, he said, "Is this not the great Babylon, which I have built by the might of my power and for my glory and my majesty?" And before the words could get out of his mouth, at that moment, God showed him who truly ruled and how expendable he was. At that moment, God took his sanity from him. And for a period of time, he began to live out in the fields with the animals. At night, the dew of heaven would cover his body. He began to eat grass with the oxen. His hair began to be long and matted, and his nails became like bird claws as he was insane. And for a long period, he remained in this state of insanity. But then God, having taught him the lesson, restored his sanity to him. And when he did, Nebuchadnezzar wrote these words: "At the end of the days of my insanity, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time that my reason returned unto me, and the glory of my kingdom, my honor and my brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." The principle he learned, the hard way. Those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. He that exalteth himself, Jesus said, shall be abased. Years later, when Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, became the king over Babylon, he too was lifted up with pride. And in disdain of the invasion by the Medo-Persian armies, while they were besieging the city of Babylon, thinking that his fortress was impregnable, he ordered a great feast for 1,000 of his lords. And we'll let them be out there, you know, sleeping in the rain. We're going to feast and live it up inside. And when they got pretty drunk, he decided that they maybe should take another step deeper into their debauchery. And he ordered that they would bring to him the golden vessels that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and had brought to Babylon as a part of the treasury of Babylon. "Bring those out, that we might drink our wine out of these gold and silver goblets that were used in the temple worship in Jerusalem." And so they brought out these golden vessels and they began to drink their wine out of these vessels that had been sanctified unto the service of God. And while they were drinking, suddenly on the wall there appeared a hand writing letters, words that they did not understand. And terror gripped Belshazzar's heart. It says his knees began to just smite against each other. He called for the wise men of Babylon to come and tell him, what does that say? And none of them were able to interpret for him the writing on the wall. And his queen mother finally said, you know, during the time of your grandfather's reign, there was a man among the Hebrews who was able to interpret dreams, and your grandfather consulted him an awful lot. Maybe you ought to call him in. So they called in Daniel to interpret the writing on the wall. And before Daniel interpreted the writing, he took advantage of the opportunity and he preached a sermon to Belshazzar. He said, O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your grandfather, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all of the people and nations and languages trembled and feared before him. And whom he would, he slew. Whom he would keep alive. And whom he would set up. And whom he would put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appoints over it whomsoever he will. And you, his grandson Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all of this. But you've lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords and your wives and concubines have drunk wine in them, and you've praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, gods which cannot see or hear or know, and the God in whose hand your very breath is, and whose are all your ways, you have not glorified. And he told him, God's going to bring you and the kingdom down. This night, your soul's going to be required of you. This night, your kingdom's going to be divided to the Medes and the Persians. He that exalts himself shall be abased. How we see this in the world around us. How many once prominent political figures have been abased through scandals and through dishonesty. They've been discovered to be doing crooked things and they've been abased. How many of the financial wizards of the world, men who were admired, looked up to, for the wealth that they were amassing unto themselves. Millikan and Keating. And of course, just recently, this fellow in Britain. Listen. Exalting themselves, but oh, how they've been brought down. In the sports world, how many of those athletes who receive such glory, such praise, have been brought down through cocaine use or through other things. Even the ministry is not immune. So many men in the ministry who exalted themselves and now have become abased. It's a principle. You can't escape it. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Now, the other side of the coin is, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The prophet Samuel said to King Saul, "When you were little in your own eyes, the Lord made you the king over Israel." When Samuel first met Saul and said, "You know, God has chosen you to be the first king of Israel," Saul said, "Oh, no, that can't be. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. That's the least tribe in all of Israel. And my father's house is really the least house in the tribe of Benjamin, and I'm the least in my father's house." In other words, you can't get any lower than me. And so he said, when you were small in your own eyes, then the Lord raised you up and he made you the king. But of course, it was tragic. Samuel was rebuking him now because he had become great in his own eyes. He had become very proud, and God's ready to take the kingdom from him. There is a proverb in Proverbs 18:12 that says, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." There's another very well-known proverb that pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Basically, what Jesus is saying is that the way up is down, and the way down is up. If you exalt yourself, lift yourself up, you'll be brought down. If you will humble yourself, you will be brought up. Take the lowest place, you'll be invited to come higher. Take the highest place, and you're apt to be asked to step down. James said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Peter said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up." Both Peter and James said that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you are proud, God is resisting you. For you see, pride is that of self-exaltation. It is seeking glory for yourself, honor for yourself. But glory and honor is to be given to God. To him alone be glory and honor. And you're trying to take honor for yourself is taking then that which belongs to God. Jesus was watching them. He saw their little gains. He saw them as they were working their way, trying to get the highest places. And so turning to these men who had just gone through their game, who were seated in these various places, he said, "He that exalts himself is going to be abased, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." In another place, Jesus was observing them again as they were giving, noticing how there were those who were seeking to draw attention to themselves, seeking to give in such a way that everybody was aware of the great magnanimous gifts that they were contributing to the temple. The attitude and all in which they were doing these things, and Jesus was observing that with his disciples. He is observing, noting your attitudes toward yourself and others, whether or not you're trying to elevate yourself or whether or not you're willing to take a place of servitude. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, you can do good works in such a way that it brings glory to you. Everybody observes. Everybody is saying, oh my, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he generous? Did you see what he did? You know, and you can let your light shine so as you are in the spotlight. And there are so many people, they take their lights and they turn them on themselves. But Jesus is saying, turn your light on God. Let the light shine that it exalts God, that people are seeing God and glorifying God. So basically, I would say that putting it sort of in the modern vernacular, the principle that Jesus is teaching is that if you are constantly shining the light on yourself, he's going to punch your lights out. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Now, what better example can we have than that of Jesus? Where Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God and thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God. I mean, you can't get any higher than that. Yet he humbled himself. Took upon himself the form of man, that of a servant, and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You can't get any lower than that. Humbled himself to die on a cross. What was the result? Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. The way up is down. The way down is up. Shall we pray? Father, our desire is to be like our Lord, to follow in his steps and his example. And Lord, we see how that you laid aside your glory to come to this earth, to die on a cross. But we see you today exalted, lifted up and on high, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we worship you. And we glorify you. And we desire to be like you. And so, Lord, help us to learn this principle and to put it into practice. Help us, Lord, not to exalt ourselves, but rather to humble ourselves before thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Learn to be the servant of all. Learn to be the servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. I think of that other chorus, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Basic principles given to us by our Lord, whereby we should live. May God help us this week to go out and to be as servants, conscious and aware, sensitive to the needs of others, and seeking to reach out and to minister to them, to lift them, to help them, to serve them, that we might indeed be the servants of our Lord, following His example.